We welcome you once again to Words of Truth. Today, we continue our series of lessons dealing with the theme, The Truth About the Truth. Today, we want to try to answer, what is truth? Remember from our last lesson, our Lord warned us, ye are your father the devil, the lust of your father, it is your will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and standeth not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father thereof. But because I say the truth, ye believe me not. John 8:44-45. Only the truth of God's word can make us free. Last time we noted that Jesus told those believing Jews who would be his disciples, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:31-32. Friends, many who want to be Jesus' disciples and may think that they are, do not respect Jesus' words and thus are not his disciples. They do not know what his word has said because they do not know their Bible. Jesus warned, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. John 12:48. Friends, what is truth? Was this not the question that Pilate asked Jesus in John 18:38? Perhaps the simplest definition of truth is, a statement is true if, when it says X is the case, X really is the case. In other words, truth reveals things exactly the way they are. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said that he told things the way they really are to men. Yes, Jesus told the truth about God, about man, why man is here, where he is going, of sin, and the way of eternal life. Surely, the Bible doesn't hide the truth from us, so that no Christian has to say, as did Pilate, what is truth? The Bible clearly teaches that God's word is truth. In his great prayer that his disciples be united, Jesus gave both the platform and the means of Christian unity. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Jesus came into the world that he might reveal truth to mankind. I again remind you of Jesus' statement to Pilate, to this end have I been born, and to this end am I come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. John 18:37. The Apostle John declared, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, John 1:17. On one occasion, when all other disciples forsook him, Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, would ye also go away? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words, notice, of eternal life, John 6:67-68. So concerned was our Lord for truth that he guaranteed his apostles would be guided into all truth. John 16:13. On the night of his betrayal, Jesus said, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak from himself, but what things soever he shall hear, shall he speak. And he shall declare unto you the things that are to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine, and shall declare it unto you. All things whatsoever the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he taketh of mine, and shall declare it unto you. John 16:13-15. Is it not amazing that many today who name Christ as their Savior have no idea what truth is and are asking, what is truth? Others may still affirm that Christ brought truth into the world, but that no one today can know what it is, or if that truth has been preserved in a book, it is merely a human book and not trustworthy. But is this what Jesus said? Has God made no provision in guarding his truth from error and from vanishing away? Though neither Jesus nor his apostles are present on this earth, Jesus did make provision that his words would be preserved for all mankind through the scriptures. We can know the words of truth and life through the sacred writings, which have been preserved for us. In his second epistle, the Apostle Peter was concerned that Christians would remember his words after he had put off this tabernacle after his death. Listen to what he wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Wherefore, I shall be ready always to put you in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and are established in the truth which is with you. And I think it right, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that the putting off of my tabernacle cometh swiftly, even as our Lord Jesus Christ signified unto me. Yea, I will give diligence that every time ye may be able, after my decease, to call these things to remembrance. 2 Peter 1, 12 through 15. How would Christians remember Peter's words? How do we know what Peter said? Peter said his words would be preserved in Scripture. At the end of the chapter, he wrote, "And we have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light, as unto a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is a private interpretation. For no prophecy ever came of the will of man, but men spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit." 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21. Peter ends his epistle by mentioning that the Apostle Paul's writings come under the classification of Scripture. Listen carefully to the importance of Scripture in the salvation of the soul. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for these things, give diligence that you may be found in peace, without spot and blameless in his sight. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul also, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, wherein are some things hard to be understood, which the ignorant and unsteadfast rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction." 2 Peter 3, 14 through 16. This affirms that we can know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Surely, we have seen that truth has greatly blessed our present lives here on earth. We have learned the truth about disease and the medicine used to cure our bodies. This century has brought wonderful technological wonders that have made our lives in some ways easier, though we are beginning to learn there is a price to be paid. But the greatest truth of all is spiritual truth. For these truths follow us throughout eternity and will accomplish our ultimate happiness. The Bible presents spiritual truth as a definite body of doctrine, that is, to be believed and obeyed. This body of doctrine may be spoken of as the faith, the gospel, the truth, or the word. Jude spoke of the faith as a definite body that is to be defended. "I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting to you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints." Jude 3. The faith was the message the Apostle Paul preached in Galatians 1:23. But Paul also told Timothy that some had erred from the faith, 1 Timothy 6:21, and would fall away from the faith, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. In the next two verses, we understand that the faith is another way of saying the truth, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having your conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and notice and know the truth. 1 Timothy 4, 2 and 3. The faith is also known as the gospel. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul speaks of the defense and confirmation of the gospel, verse 7, which is the same as proclaiming Christ, verse 17, Philippians 1. Christians are to strive for the faith of the gospel, verse 27, Philippians 1. Thus, Christians are warned not to accept another or perverted gospel, Galatians 1, 6-9. As we've already noted, God's word is truth, and we are sanctified by truth. Truth makes us free. But men and women become lost when they turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables, 2 Timothy 4:4. That truth is also the word that saves our soul. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 1, 23-25. 1 Peter chapter 1, 23-25. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through, notice, the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but notice, but the word of the Lord endures forever. When we consider the exemplary life, atoning death, and glorious resurrection of Christ, we find these all worthless if Jesus is not who he claimed to be, the Son of God. Jesus came to reveal truth. We have also seen that when on trial before Pilate, Jesus' main concern was not to defend his character or to spare his own life. Rather, he announced to Pilate, "To this end have I been born, and to this end I am come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." When confronted with this statement by our Lord, Pilate was constrained to ask, "What is truth?" John 18 and verse 38. Whether Pilate's question was asked in scorn, as it probably was, or whether it was asked in sincerity, prompted by a desire to learn more about Christ's kingdom and the principles on which it was founded, the fact remains that the question, "What is truth?" is the most thought-provoking and challenging question ever raised. But now, since we have looked at what is the truth, what is the truth about your salvation? Are you simply a Christian? We're not talking about some man-made name hyphenated with Christian. The word Christian means belonging to Christ. Now, what do we need to do to belong to Christ? Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Regardless of what some man says or teaches or preaches, let us go to the Bible. Let us find out what it is that I must do in order to be saved. Jesus said, "Except or unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." John 8 and verse 24. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to turn from sin? That's repentance. Produced by godly sorrow. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. And then we acknowledge publicly that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, some in the religious world have that as the very first step. Just believe in Jesus Christ as God's Son and acknowledge Him, and that's all you need to do. But it's not. What is the truth? We are to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then because we believe that in the heart, we're willing to act on it. And then that brings us to the final step, and that is baptism or immersion in water for the forgiveness of our sins. What is the truth? Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16. Read it, study it, and obey it. We'll be happy to help you or assist you in your becoming a Christian even this day. Why not worship with us today at 9:30 for our Bible study period, at 10:25 as we study together again from God's Word, and then at 6 o'clock for our evening worship. We also meet for midweek Bible study on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Every time you meet, you will be an honored guest. Bring your Bible, bring a friend ready for study. Until next week, as once again we present words of truth, we bid you a good day.